Here in the corner, we have to bring on a P1. I don't want to say a P1 from yesteryear. Still a P1, but we don't hear from him as much. But he actually called in during our Christmas Eve show as we were pretty much jacking around for 4 hours and taking calls. And in the pantheon of productive P1s, he might be near the top of our pyramid. That would be the great sweaty Jen Olson guy. Sir, good to talk to you again.
Hello, sir. Good to talk to you, too.
Man, happy New Year, happy holidays to you and yours.
Same to me.
Your voice is just majestic for me. After listening to so many of these calls, and, you know, I've never met you in person, so the only way I know your voice is on the phone, and it's just incredible. So this is a big moment for me. Do you want us to call you sweaty Jen Olson guy throughout this, or what?
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
Okay, let me ask you this, though.
How did we get the name?
So this was, it was mid to early 2000s. It's when the Hardline used to be out at Colonial. And this was probably the most miserable weather-wise Colonial we ever had. It was mid to high 90s and raining off and on. So it was very humid and hot. And
really?
One of the many news anchors that Dale Hansen used to throw it to. And she was out there doing a news, you know, Dale Hansen throw it to Jen Olson on the course. Down her face, just, you know, looked horrible, the poor girl. And, you know, Corby was out there and they saw her, and Hardline used to have this thing called the 2-minute drill.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the show, callers would just call in and say something. And that day I called in and I made a comment about Jen Olson being sweaty, and it kind of became like a repetitive bit on the 2-minute drill. And then I became known as sweaty Jen Olson guy. And then from there on, the Big Dick Hunter of Ticket Yesteryear, who
R.I.P.
the P1 Wild Ass Circus, he had me on his show a number of times, and I just became known as sweaty Jen Olson guy. And then I did a number of pranks, and it went on from there.
I got to ask, though, like Jake says, he recognizes your voice. I think every P1 recognizes those pipes. Have you ever been out, and then a fellow P1 sort of raises their eyebrow and goes, is that you, SJOG? Has that been a thing?
I have a few times. Yeah, I don't say it happens all the time, but that has happened a few times.
Okay, so I want to start with probably the most well-known, because in my mind it was probably the first. Is the first time that you ever executed a really successful and well-known prank call, was it O.J. Simpson?
Yeah, that was one of the first, and that was a really surreal moment for me, because the very next day I'm walking around at home, it's late at night, and it's like 11 p.m., and all of a sudden I've got the TV on, and all of a sudden I hear my voice coming out of the TV. And I go in there, and damned if Jimmy Kimmel didn't replay the bit on his opening monologue. So that was pretty surreal.
Now going back to that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the sports princess Kate Delaney hosting that show that OJ was on? Or am I wrong?
She sure was on TV. It was a show that was only on the internet. It was this real low rent analog looking video that they put up on the internet with OJ Simpson and Kate Delaney, and I called in and worked some magic.
I'm having a really hard time listening to you talk right now.
Because we always feel like it's going to go into, like, lancing somebody with a pitchfork.
Okay, so how long were you, for example, how long were you on hold for this Sports Princess and Juice call? And what did you tell the screener?
I told him, I had been a huge fan of OJ for forever, and I had a, really unique story about my elderly mother and me, and, wanted to share that, and that became kind of a recurring theme to my pranks, was I had a, elderly mother that somehow got mistreated.
Okay. Okay. So you actually
not the case in real life.
Okay. Your mother's never been lanced. And
No.
Okay. That's incredible because you actually kind of told the same story, or you told the screener actually kind of what you were going to do. You didn't lie and say you had a football question. So let's enjoy the bit that made it to Kimmel with OJ and the sports princess.
Ty is listening to us in Texas. Hi, Ty.
Hi, great to be with y'all. This is a real honor. I just wanted to tell her, I think OJ, biggest fan in the world. I have a good reason why. I was about 6 years old. Real quick story. 1973 season, the magical season. Made me, I'm a little nervous. Mom and I are on the sidelines, and it's before the game starts, and y'all are warming up. And she was trying to get my football signed by you, and she yelled, "Juice!" And I saw you coming over, but I got distracted like little kids do. And I turned around, and not only had you signed her football, but you had lanced my mother in the side of the neck with a pitchfork and signed it.
Oh, there you go.
And you get laughter from the crowd there, too.
Yeah, and my question is, go ahead.
Oh, and they cut me off. I actually said lance my mom in the side of the neck with a pitchfork and signed the football in my mom's own blood. They cut me off.
Boy.
So.
Very behind the music.
So my question is, had you ever used the term lanced with a pitchfork before that moment? Because I say that all the time now, and I'm positive you're the originator of that phrase.
I had, man. I just kind of thought of it on the spot. I was just kind of thinking, you know, what can I do? I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to say slice the neck because that just seemed too violent. So for some reason, a pitchfork just popped into my head, and I just kind of just seemed more comedic.
Yeah, there's a cartoonish aspect to the pitchfork, but I do have to ask, SJOG, do you call every random season magical like I do now? Because now when I hear that audio, I call random, the magical season, 1996 or whatever. Is that something you've adopted since unveiling that bit?
No, I just use that for flair with the bit. You know, you have to reel them in. You have to really, the secret to doing any good prank is reeling them in and giving them, you know, some compliments and reeling them in. And, you know, you'll see that on the Coach Joe pranks as well, how I, you know, really reel them in and then you just go for the kill.
Okay, well, let's go there next then, because the Ticket used to air the Dallas Desperados games. They would have the coach's show with Will McClay or with Coach Joe Avezzano, who, of course, spent many years coaching, and his name was Joe. That's how he got the name Coach Joe.
Coach Joe.
And so he takes this phone call from SJOG, and I'll be damned if he doesn't give you 90 seconds of airtime before deciding to he's had enough here. Let's fire it off.
Got Ty. What do you want? Talk to me, Ty.
Hey, good to be with you. First time, long time. Made it out to the game this weekend. Took my elderly mother and two brothers. They put my dad away a while ago. So now, well, I guess that's for another time and another place. But anyway, I'm kind of the patriarch in the family now. And I was really amazed. You really can go out and experience some arena football for a family of four for under $100. And
you can't go to any other sporting event in town for that, can you?
Oh, no, you sure can't. And I wanted to make a comment about, I think his name is Diallo Burks, the wide receiver.
Correct, number 88, other number 88.
Exactly. We made it down close to the field before the game started, and about that time I spotted a vendor, so I went over to get a Coke, but my elderly mother went down, I guess, to get his autograph. She's real intrigued by, you know, all the football players and whatnot. So I'm turning around getting a Coke, and I had a little problem with Diallo Burks. I don't know if he's had any problem with him on the team, but I turn around, and damned if he hasn't shoved a pitchfork right in her side. And, you know, I had no idea what was going on. Of course, I rescued her. We had to take her to the hospital after that, but I was just shocked by his play, and I was wondering if he had possibly been suspended or anything for that type of action.
Well, I think he should be suspended for calling in and giving such a bogus conversation. Diallo Burks is one of the classiest guys we've got on the team.
Oh, my gosh. Man. So clearly what happened there is that you had sensed the power of using the pitchfork and thought, why mix it up? This is my best pitch.
And they let you go, too. That the fact you weren't cut off like you were in the OJ call, I thought was a little surprising, too.
Well, and and he was very lenient. I think I had three total pranks with him, and my next one was basically the same bit instead. But instead of the pitchfork, he had strapped my mom to a giant slingshot and hurled her towards the heavens. And let me go on and say we recovered her sometime, somewhere in Weatherford.
Yeah. I think I remember that. Boy.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now we have to get to this last one before we go. And I feel like this is probably your masterpiece. It may not be as well known, but somehow you end up getting yourself booked for an interview with Norm. Explain.
Yeah, so I just drive around in my car, and this was back during the time where before you could readily access websites on your phone. It was just before, I think the iPhones came out, and I heard Norm say, "Hey, we've got minor league pitcher Rob Ramsey coming back from tremendous adversity," he didn't show, and then he said, "Okay, well, we're still trying to get Rob Ramsey," and I had been given the hotline number because of all the different bits I'd done on Big Dick Hunter's show and whatnot. So I thought, hey, why not call in and say I'm Rob Ramsey? So I called, and I think it was Justin at the time, not the former Justin. The former Justin. He answered the phone, and
Justin
somehow
Mueller.
He didn't recognize my voice. And I said, "Hey, I'm Rob Ramsey. Sorry, I'm late, ready to go." And he said, "Okay, we'll get you on next segment." So I'm in a panic. I have no idea who Rob Ramsey is. So I call my friend, who's the sports geek, who looks up on the internet who he is. He's like, "Oh, God, minor league pitcher coming back from a brain tumor and, has a wife and young kid." So I'm just thinking of, how am I going to do this? What am I going to say? What am I going to do as a bit? I had no idea. And I actually kind of felt bad because I'm stringing Norm along and I've got melodramatic Norm and, I'm answering questions and I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just making stuff up.
Yeah, there's some bittersweet Norm along the way, too, in this interview.
Yeah.
How long were you on? 8 to 10 minutes or something?
Yeah, it was a full segment. And I tried to do, said he was from like the Northeast and I cannot do any accent but this. And I tried to fake a Northeast accent at first, and then it just kind of trailed back into my Southern drawl. It was really pretty failed, but it ended up okay.
It was hook, line, and sinker, though. He had no idea.
Okay, so what I have for you here is like the last 40 seconds, where, as you said, we do get melodramatic Norm, and then you decide to drop a bomb on him at the end of the interview after discussing your battle with a brain tumor.
You know, yes. Rob, maybe the biggest difference isn't in the pitcher. Maybe it's in Rob Ramsey.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It gives you a lot of internal hump, if you will, to just move forward. And that's what's keeping me going. I'm not even supposed to be here, and now me and my wife Samantha are expecting our first child, and just real happy for that.
My, what a blessing that is, Rob.
Yes.
Well, God bless you and Godspeed. We'll be keeping track of you this season. No people out here are cheering for you.
Thank you, Norm.
Rob, I appreciate your visit this morning.
All right.
I really do.
Thank you. I'm gay.
Just bail.
Oh, my God. Do you feel weird listening to that one?
Yeah. I mean, because I'm definitely not gay, but, I just didn't know what else to say, and the bit with Gordon and whatnot. I just thought of so many Gordon bits, so I just threw that in. Sure enough, he replayed it the next day on Gordon's Corner, and Norm actually was not at work the next day, and I felt bad. I hope I didn't have anything to do with that. I think he was just sick, and it was mere coincidence.
No, but I'll tell you what, off air up here, I was working here at the time. And I didn't even think I was doing tickers for Norm at that point. But the talking to we all got about giving out phone numbers to P1s, there was a stern email that sifted through the office right on the heels of that. So
well done.
Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, very call from Big Dick Hunter right after that.
Man, I really appreciate you giving us some time today, and this was a bogus conversation that I was proud to be a part of. And I'll get some of this audio together and send it along your way, man.
All right, thanks a lot. You guys are great.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
You.
Have a good one.
Oh, this
the SJOG.
It's like getting to interview Newt Rockne for me.
It's a big deal. Hopefully the P1s enjoyed that.